Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Leviticus chapter 27, starting in verse 1, ending the book in verse 34, where he is talking about taking our commitment to Jesus seriously. More on that now. Let's finish the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave Tomaso.
It causes you to be on time to your post. It causes you to not call in sick or to say, I won't be there tonight, I stubbed my toe. It causes you to think twice before you don't show. It sort of kind of drives you, for lack of better words, pushes you to be serious about what it is that God has put in front of you. So just a word of exhortation from Leviticus 27. Moving along here, verse 25. He says, in all your estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerah shall be the shekel. Now, as we enter into this last section of this book, we'll be done in just a few minutes, so stay with me here. Verses 26 through 34, we're going to see here as he closes this instruction here of how to redeem something that you've given to God that you no longer want to give to him. He's going to close this section by listing three things that are unredeemable. He's going to give us three things that you cannot redeem. These are God's. You can't redeem them. You can't take them back. You can't claim them as a gift. They are already God's. And in this closing section, there will certainly be application for you tonight. So keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on your Bibles. Follow along as we finish up here these remaining verses of the book of Leviticus. He says, first of all, verse 26, only the firstling or the firstborn of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be an ox or sheep. Why? Because it is the Lord's. So you can't say to God, God, you've been so good, I'm going to vow to you, I'm going to dedicate to you, I'm going to give you the firstborn of my sheep or ox. God would say, don't try doing shady business with me like that. The firstborn is mine anyways. And this takes us all the way back to Exodus 12 at the Passover, when the Lord allowed the provision of the firstborn there to remember, as he would have, it took place, the firstborn in Israel, the Passover, where the blood of the lamb redeemed that firstborn from judgment. If the Israelites or the Egyptians, anyone in the land, would put the blood of the sacrifice on their doorposts or on their lentils. Remember, the angel of death would pass over that home. Otherwise, if the blood wasn't applied, the firstborn would be killed. So God is saying, don't try playing that game with me. Don't try giving me something back that I've already claimed. That is already mine. The firstborn of all your animals is unredeemable, Bible students. So don't try doing these things to me. Don't try ripping me off, is what the Lord is saying. It's amazing that he has to stoop to this level to give us this type of instruction. You know this is here because he knows the ins and outs of us, don't you? He knows the way that we think. Okay, I'm going to give this to God. It would be as though I leave here tonight and somebody scandalous went in my office, took my 1999 Saturn coupe keys, because you're so jealous over it, and you took my keys, you went to my car, and you drove around the parking lot and pull up right to the front there. You go and get it washed at Buckman's, you get all cleaned up, you get it waxed. I don't know if it does any good waxing a plastic car, but you do it anyways. You bring it up, you pull it right in the front, and I come out there after service like I do every week to greet the people, and you get out of the car, dangling the keys, and say, look what I got for you. Now, I'm going to say, what do you mean, look what you got for me? That's my car. How did you get my keys? Why did you get my keys? You know, why would you go get my car? And what do you mean, look what I got for you? And you would say, no, this is my gift to you. I got this for you. This is for you. That would be absolutely ludicrous, wouldn't it? It's already mine. It already belongs to me. I already have ownership over it. It's no gift at all. That's not blessing me. If you want to bless me, you'll go drive that car into the canal, hop out first, of course, and then, you know, give me a new truck. That's what I've been telling you guys for all these years, you know. They're not that. But it wouldn't bless me because it's already mine. I already have ownership over it. It wouldn't be a gift to me. So God is saying, that's really a way of illustrating. God is saying, this is the same thing here. Don't try to play these games with me and bring me an animal that's firstborn. The animal that's firstborn is already mine. That doesn't count. So therefore, you can't redeem it. There is no redemptive price for it. It's already mine. And if it be, verse 27, of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add 20% or a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, verse 28, he's going to give us the second thing that's unredeemable. No devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he has, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy, which means set apart, unto the Lord. So God is saying the second thing that is unredeemable after the firstborn of the beast, of the lamb, is then those things that God sets aside for himself. An example, the spoils from the war with Jericho, Joshua chapter 6 and 7. You go and you look at that portion of scripture, God explicitly told Joshua and all of the Israelites, once you have victory over Jericho, that city that you march around and blow the trumpet and the walls come tumbling down, once you have victory, great victory, because of me over that city, don't take the spoils. They are accursed. It says in the King James, but the word accursed means they are devoted. They're mine. The spoils are mine. They're not for you. The treasures, the things that you discover there in that land, they're not for you to take. Joshua chapter 7, Achan took them, hid them under his tent. They went to go fight against this little insignificant city of Ai, and they got their butts kicked. Remember that. And Joshua doesn't understand. He gets before God. He says, God, what's happened here? Why did we just lose to this insignificant people when we just, you know, beat Jericho, which was huge in comparison? What went wrong? And the Lord says, there's sin in Israel. There's sin in the camp. And until God dealt with it, there would not be victory. And what it was that Achan and his family, under their tent, hid the treasures of Jericho that God forbid. He said, those spoils, those things are devoted to me. So God takes it seriously here. He says, when things are devoted to me, when I put my name on something, when I claim it, you can't give those things to me, and nor can you redeem them back from me. I've claimed them. They're mine. And just because he's God, he can. He can do that. He can say that. And so that's what he's speaking of here. And again, Joshua 6 and 7 are good cross-references for you Bible students for verse 28. He goes on in verse 29 to say this, none devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Just ask Achan. Verse 30, and all the tithe, the only time the word tithe is mentioned in the book of Leviticus, and all the tithe, which means a tenth or 10% of the land, whether of the seed or of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. You cannot say, God, here's your tithe, and expect credit for that. Rather, my conviction, and you can argue with somebody who cares after service, but is in not giving 10% to the Lord, you're actually robbing the Lord from what is justly and rightly his. You can't say, God is saying, here's 10% of my income. And so here, God, here's my gift to you. God's saying, that's not your gift. That's your rightful duty. That belongs to me. The tenth is mine. And what blows me away is that's all that he asked for. He says, so that's not a gift. You can't applaud yourself for a gift, and you certainly can't redeem the tenth, because the tenth is mine off the top, by the way. Not after taxes are taken out, not after child support is paid, not after your mortgage is paid, not after your bills are paid. Now, before I move from this, I do want to hit this for a moment, or two or three. A lot of people ask about tithing. A lot of people ask, I'm going to give you my conviction, and you can go home and be Bible students and do what you want with this. I don't even believe that tithing really even pertains to us as New Testament saints. I don't believe that, as far as I see as a Bible student, in my understanding of scriptures, tithing isn't even really mentioned in the New Testament other than Abraham tithing to Melchizedek. But as far as being instructional to you and I, Paul says that we are to give. Giving is mentioned, and it's mentioned along the context of giving with a cheerful heart. Giving with a cheerful heart. I believe, personally, that 10% should just be the starting point. I believe that should just be the base point that we work off. Based on the principle of this, you can never outgive God. I don't believe that, you know, we should be legalistic with this. If you don't give 10% here tonight, I don't believe that God is less pleased with you. Perhaps you're in a really bad place and you can't find a job and you're sincerely seeking a job and you're doing everything that you can to scrape up pennies here. I think that God is gracious, and I think that God is much more interested in the servant than he is the service. He's much more interested in you than he is your wallet. And I think that if for the season that you're in, the time that you're in, if you're giving back to God or you're devoting to God, it has to be you coming into the church and vacuuming and cleaning and washing windows. I think that God is just as pleased with that as he is with somebody who makes $100,000 a year and gives $10,000 a month. You see, I think we need to be very careful here, because we can become very pharisaical. We can become very just religious snobs. If we begin to act and treat the scriptures as this, I cross all my T's, I dot all my I's, I give 10% plus some, so I'm good. Tithing's not even mentioned in the New Testament. I think that it's a starting point. I think it's a base point. We personally, I'm not going to give you my numbers and my percentages because I'm not good enough at math, but we treat it as a starting point, me and Shauna in our house. And I'm telling you that God has absolutely 100% outblessed us all day long. You cannot outgive God, as we've talked about for moving through this book. He will absolutely open up the windows of heaven and just pour out his abundant blessings all over your life. The scriptures are clear. He will be no man's debtor. Never. He won't be. He's always the initiator. We are always the responders. Now, if you are in a place of being able to financially give to God and you're not, and you're having financial woes and troubles, hello, you're robbing from God. You're ripping God off. How much are you supposed to give? That's between you and the Lord. You're supposed to give as much as you can with a cheerful heart. And if you're giving grudgingly, God says, keep it. God says, don't even give it, because I'm not blessed by it and I won't reward you for it. Now, let me say this before we move past this verse. If God puts a number on your heart that stretches you and tries you a little bit, don't mislabel that as, well, I'm not comfortable, so I'm not going to give it. Because he's also seeking to grow you in your faith and stretch you in your faith. And it will never make sense. Faith will never make sense. You'll never be able to get out your calculator, your pen, and your notebook and say, okay, let's crunch the numbers here. If I make $800 a week, and if I give to God $90 a week, more than 10%, there's no way I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage, pay my cell phone bill, pay my internet, pay my Time Warner. No, you can't do that. Faith can't be reasoned out. If you can reason it out, it isn't faith. And you got to give it off the top. The first fruits go to the Lord. I am telling you with pure conscience that we never have a talk on Saturday night, Sean and I. Can we afford to tithe tomorrow? We treat it as this. We can't afford not to tithe tomorrow. We can't afford to rip our Lord off. This is the least and the littlest that we can do. It is so small in comparison of what he's done for us. So be that as it may, just be encouraged here that the tithe is automatically the Lord's. And if you say, well, I'm certainly not going to tithe. I said I was going to make one last point. Well, I lied. This is my second to last point on this. If you say that we're not under the law, so I don't have to tithe, that's just foolish. Because tithing has been going on before the law was even given. Abraham to Melchizedek, 10%. The law wasn't even given yet. This is not a law thing. I believe that this is a principle thing, personally. Moving on, verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So what they would do there in Israel is they'd have this narrow gate, and the shepherds of the fields there, the sheep and the oxen would be, what they would do is they'd have this rod marked, dipped in paint, and every tenth, one of the animals from the flock or the herd would come through that narrow gate. They would drop the rod down, and the paint would scrape the back of that beast of burden or of that animal, and that tenth one, every tenth one, would go as a sacrifice, as an offering, as unto the Lord. It was part of the nation's tithe. And he says here, he makes it very clear, he, verse 33, shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So God is saying, listen, if it's a beautiful sheep or oxen that I mark, and I say that one's mine, you can't quickly exchange that one for one that's crippled or one that's blind or one that has, you know, prostate problems. You can't do that. You can't take one that's going to be a burden or a nuisance to you and exchange it for one that is lovely and good. Whatever one is the 10th one that I divinely select, that one is mine. No playing games with me here. I heard a story once of a farmer who was blessed with twin calves. And he said to his wife, I'm so blessed here that the Lord has been so gracious to us. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give one to the Lord. And I'm going to keep one for us, for our farm. And the wife said, well, that's wonderful. And some time had went on. And one morning after breakfast, he came in from being outside and tending to the animals out at the barn. And he was all dismayed and discouraged. And his wife said, what's wrong? And he said, you won't believe it. She said, what happened? He said, one of the calves there that was born, the Lord's, it died last night, you know. And that's the principle here. You can't exchange it. He's saying, because one of them is sick or feeble or weak, you can't say, well, that one's the Lord and the good one is mine. God just knows our tendencies. He knows that we are so prone to give the church the beat up couch, to give the church the machine that doesn't work, to give the church the truck that is broken down, to give the church our leftovers, the things that are really going to be a burden more than a blessing. God says, don't do that. If you're going to give to the Lord, you know, give rightly. Are you ready? Our last verse, I already heard a Bible zip up. Shame on you. These are the commandments, verse 34, which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. You done well, church. You finish the book of Leviticus. Praise God. Genesis is the book of creation in the fall of man. Exodus is the book of redemption. Leviticus is the book of holiness and worship. And Numbers is a book of the path that leads to the promised land. And there are some great lessons that we are going to find in the book of Numbers as we move into that book next week, as we continue to tread through God's word. I will admit that there are portions that are more fun to teach than others. There are portions that are more exciting to listen to than others. But God will honor you and bless you for treading through all of his word. Every verse, precept upon precept, line upon line. He's pleased with you. He's blessed with you for enduring some of these tougher studies. What you leave with tonight, really simple. One, God wants you to worship him because you want to, not because you have to. Two, if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to give to the Lord, do it with a whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly, and don't retract that which you step up to do for his glory. Do it faithfully, but don't do it in the flesh. Worship team, would you come? Don't do it in the flesh. Do it in the power of his might. Do it in his strength. As much as we are called to persevere, as much as we are called to keep going, to keep trucking for the glory of God, be careful not to do it in your own strength. Be careful not to begin to do it in the flesh. The work that God has began in the Spirit, are we supposed to finish it in the flesh, Paul would say? Absolutely not. The key is to be being filled, constantly being filled with the Spirit of God. Less of me, more of him. I must decrease, he must increase. He will be faithful if you put your hands to the plow and you keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. He will be faithful to fill your lampstand with his oil. He will be faithful to keep you burning. He will be faithful to give you what you need. I will be honest with you. There are many times, as often as I minister publicly, where I don't feel like ministering at all. Tonight was even one of them. I don't feel right tonight. I feel great now, but prior to the study, I did not feel well. I felt beat up. My stomach, honestly, was bothering me. As I was walking up here to preach, I was saying, Lord, I told Daniel when I came up here, I said, you might be doing a worship night tonight. He said, what do you mean? I said, I don't feel good. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this chapter, but God in his grace, I feel wonderful. You got to do it sometimes. You got to just keep going and grinding it out for the glory of God. Jesus, you brought hundreds of people here tonight. You filled this place. You've allowed this donkey to be behind your pulpit to preach your word. I got to do this, God. But I can't do it by myself, but I can do all things through you, Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. And we just stay committed. We just stay faithful. Listen, the body of Christ is depending on you. Really, we are. Nobody can do what God has called you to do the way that you do it. God has made you fearfully and wonderfully. He's designed you perfectly as he sees fit to be a blessing to this local fellowship. So serve Jesus faithfully as Satan slaps you around as he roars at you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Jesus is coming soon, church. Keep perspective. Don't slack. Don't fall behind. Don't grow weary. Don't stay home to watch Shark Week. Be here to watch and learn of Jesus. Jesus. He's exciting. He's the one we need to be focused on. We need to know his word. We need to redeem the time. The trumpet's going to sound soon. The year of Jubilee is coming soon. Where all debts are forgiven. Where all, you know, charges are removed. Where everything is made whole. The lion and the lamb are going to lay together. We're going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords soon. Keep your focus. Keep your eyes lifted up. He's coming. We're going to see him soon. Stay focused. Stay busy about the Father's business. You Christians that are here tonight, listen, real quickly. Thank you guys for coming up to stand for just a moment. I appreciate it. Real quickly, those of you who've made a vow to the Lord, I want to tell you something. It's really foolish oftentimes to make these vows. We get excited. We want to serve the Lord. We want to do well for the Lord. Then when we don't, we get so discouraged. Be careful. The Nazarites in the Old Testament, you think of Samson, you think of John the Baptist, those guys were called to vow their lives that way to God. Listen, the scriptures tell us that God pities us knowing that we're just dust. He's not dependent upon you to finish this walk with him. He who started the good work will be faithful to complete it in you. So don't beat yourself up. God knows that you are not able to do this thing in your own. So don't come here tonight and be so discouraged if you've been struggling. Just look to Jesus. Come to the end of yourself, but look to Jesus. If you're here and you have consecrated your life lately, you said, God, I want to be all yours. I want to be all in. This is a perfect segue chapter into Romans 12, what we've been studying on Sundays. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, I don't beat you, I beseech you, I want you to want me, I want you to want to, is what God is saying. And I will be the one who enables you. I'll be the motor in the boat. I'll be the kick drum in the band. I'll keep you going and growing if you keep your eyes on me. Amen.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.